Yeah, it's been a dry lead up to the spring this year, but we've had a little bit of rain recently, and the plants and the bird life in particular are showing the benefits of that.
Now, for those listening who have never visited before, can you kind of give us an idea of how special Lawn Hollow is to the community and what it offers that makes it unique among other sanctuaries of its type?
Yeah, I like to think of Lawn Hollow as one of our small neighbourhood national parks. It's referred to as a bushland reserve or a heathland reserve in Beaumaris, and it's a remnant of the original Beaumaris vegetation. So it's about 2.5 hectares. It's the richest of all of Bayside's bushland reserves, so it's got more species than anywhere else, indigenous species. We've got about 120 of the original 430 that were in all of Bayside.
So definitely a grounds for indigenous heritage.
Absolutely. It's for its heathland vegetation, it's classed as significant on a statewide basis, and for its woodland vegetation, it's regionally significant.
Have there been any changes at Lawn Hollow this spring compared to last year that you've started to see so far? Any plants blooming earlier than expected?
It's probably more later than normal because of the dry lead up to the spring. But we've also got a few areas where we've done ecological burns in the last few years. There's a very, very rich central area which was burned in 2015, and that is just superb. It's got species there that are found nowhere else in Bayside. There was a burn in 2018 in the southwest corner, and the regrowth there has just been astonishing. The trees are back to 8 metres or more tall already. The 2022 burn is becoming quite rich. It was an area that had been dominated by coastal tea tree, which as far inland as Lawn Hollow is, it's about 2 kilometres inland. In the original way that the Aboriginal people managed the area, the tea tree would have only occurred within about 0.5 kilometre of the beach, but it's kind of moved inland. And a lot of the original residents of Beaumaris, when it was first settled, tend to see coast tea tree as part of their environment. But from a botanical perspective, it can be a bit weedy. So we try to keep it a bit under control. And that 2022 burn was very dominated by coast tea tree, but the understory was reasonably promising. So when we did the ecological burn, we had more than 30 indigenous species come up that had been missing for many years.
How long have you been the convener at Lawn Hollow for, and what kind of inspires you to take on the responsibility?
Well, our previous convener, Ken Rendell, and I were amongst the four foundation members of the Friends Group back in 1982. Mm-hmm. So I've been involved for a long time. Ken was doing a fantastic job as convener, but Ken's got many other roles. He looks after Gramatten Avenue Reserve. He works at the community nursery where we propagate a lot of indigenous species. And Ken was getting on in years. I think he's into his 90s now. So I stepped in and said I'd lend a hand. But Ken still does amazing things, still working very hard at the nursery in particular, doing a lot of propagation. So, yes, my involvement with Lawn Hollow dates back to the early 80s when it was still part of the Beaumaris High School. It was land owned by the Education Department. And there was a bit of a move during the Jeff Kennett era to sell off unneeded land. So the community got behind a push to reserve it as a Crown Land Reserve. And it's now reserved under the Conservation Reserves Act. And it's a permanent reserve for the future, classed as a conservation reserve.
Oh. Wonderful. You talked a bit about the dry weather. Obviously, this year we've had, you know, waves of really dry weather. What's been the effect you've seen on that with the sanctuary so far?
The sanctuary's a very interesting... Part of the reason why it's so diverse is that it's got slightly low-lying areas. The term Lawn Hollow refers to a sort of a gully. You would have to use your imagination to see it because it's a very subtle thing. But it used to be there was a swamp and there was a sort of a watercourse that ran through Lawn Hollow down to the Beaumaris Reserve. There's still an underground stream there. So there's part of the reserve which stays reasonably moist. But to the south, there's a hill. When I say a hill, it's probably only a metre or two higher than the wet area, but sufficiently much higher that you get a very distinctly different vegetation type. So the species that grow there are more adapted to the very dry conditions. So it's that drier area that has suffered most this year.
Okay.
The damp sands herb-rich ecological vegetation class, which is the bit where the boardwalk wanders through, has stayed remarkably green even though it's been dry.
What kind of impact does the weather have on the insects that occupy Long Hollow, that being the dry weather?
That's a really good question. We've been involved indirectly with Melbourne University, who are doing some insect studies in Bayside. They've done a lot of work at George Street Reserve, but they've also released some species which have become locally extinct. There's I think it's called a matchstick grasshopper. It's a little flightless grasshopper, which is unusual because it survives through winter. It doesn't disappear through winter. So the insect-eating birds absolutely love them, and it helps to get them through the winter period when it's hard to find much to eat. But because they're flightless, when you lose them from an area, there's no way that they can come back unless people bring them back in. So the Melbourne University researchers have been releasing some at Long Hollow as well as George Street and a few of the other reserves, and there's some research going on. It's not easy to observe, you know, insects in detail and in a diverse way. We do have field naturalists who use Long Hollow quite frequently, and one of them, John Eichler, has done an enormous amount of work, a lot of photography. He's particularly interested in the pollinators, the native pollinators, the native bees. And we're kind of relying on people like John and other people who put material on the iNaturalist website to keep track of changes in the environment.
Okay, interesting. We've talked a bit about the insects. What are the other kind of animals that come out of the sanctuary that people can see?
Long Hollow, I think, is known as the richest area in inland Bayside for bird life. It has a lot of small birds as well as the larger birds. In some of our open space, you tend to find birds like noisy miners chase away the small insect-eating birds and nectar-feeding birds. Long Hollow is sufficiently dense that they've got plenty of cover. They can dive into the ground if they need to. But we also get large species, large birds. I've got this indelible memory from a few years ago when I was on my own at Long Hollow, and there was this weird sort of sound of all these birds all sort of calling out to each other, "Get down, get down, get down," and they're all diving down into the bushes. And I looked up, and there was a collared sparrowhawk gliding over the tops of the crowns of the trees, and the birds were all just darting away, getting you know, out of the way of this predator. So yeah, we have some unusual events like that, but we've also got your common birds like the magpies. We've got a family of magpies that always follow us around when we're doing weeding, because we'll turn over the soil and they'll find something juicy to eat. They know us. They come and sit beside us when we're doing weeding and sing to us, and it's great company.
Lovely, yeah. As long as they're not swooping your heads.
Yeah,
half the time.
Well,
yeah.
It's funny when they know you, they don't swoop you. If a magpie knows you, so every time I see a magpie around home, I always say hello to it, so it knows me. Yeah
awesome. We've talked about birds, insects, the other animals. If we're interested in visiting Long Hollow, what do you think is the best way to soak up the experience?
You can visit at any time. There are fenced off areas which are very sensitive, particularly the areas where we've had ecological burns recently, but you can wander through, you can wander down the boardwalk. It's an on-leash area for dogs, so we get a lot of dog walkers through there. And through the year we have, particularly in spring, we'll have guided tours. We're getting towards the end of the season with the guided tours, but there's one more coming up on the 12th of October at Bay Road Heathland Sanctuary, which is in Sandringham.
Yeah.
That's from 2 till 4 p.m. And Bay Road is not too different from Long Hollow. It's got many of the same species and a few that are quite distinct and almost unique to Bay Road. So that's well worth a look if you've got time.
What are those kind of unique species?
Well, Bay Road has got some very good orchids, very good diversity of orchids. They've also got twining fringe lilies, and I mean, you might find those in other reserves, but Bay Road, you can spot them almost any time in spring.
Yeah.
There's quite a range of species at at Bay Road that just very visible compared to some of the other reserves.
You kind of talked about it a bit before, but as we move further into the season, what activities are coming up at Lawn Hollow, and are there any upcoming events, tours or volunteer opportunities people can get involved in?
Yeah, absolutely. We have our working bees every, it's usually the last Sunday of the month, and in summer it will be from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. because can get quite hot in summer. So for the rest of the year, so outside daylight saving time, we go from 1 p.m. till 3 p.m. We meet in Reserve Road, and you don't need any skills. You learn on the job. And it's amazingly therapeutic. Even the weeding work is really quite enjoyable. It's a social activity. And we also do planting. We do the guided walks, and we do some sciencey stuff. As a friends group, there's a range of ages, and we've got people who are very interested in the reserve from different perspectives. So we've got a wonderful watercolor artist. We've got people who are into the birds. And I, in particular, like to play around with science issues. So if I find out something like, for instance, during the millennium drought, we discovered that Bayside was losing its mistletoe species. Mistletoes are really quite critical for biodiversity. Okay. So we started playing with planting mistletoes, and we've actually managed to grow mistletoes at Long Hollow, and they attract insects which are dependent on the mistletoe. So things like the Imperial Jezebel butterfly, which you won't see unless you've got mistletoes in the reserve.
It's kind of a circle of life kind of
Absolutely.
Deal. Yeah, cause and effect.